back from an amazing trip at Kenya. He's going to tell us a bit about that and also share the word with us this morning. Let's just pray for him as he does that this morning. Father, just I want to thank you for the encouragement that Andrew and his family are to us, Lord. Thank you for the church that they're planting in Pontypridd. We pray for your blessing upon them this morning as they're worshipping you and hearing from your word. And Lord, we just ask that you'd fill Andrew this morning with your spirit, Lord, that as he shares, Lord, that you'd speak to us prophetically through him, Lord. And Lord, enable us to hear what you're saying. Raise our faith this morning, Lord, and move in this place, we pray, for your glory, Lord. Amen. Amen. Bless you, mate.
Fantastic. Well, it's great to be with you. I was supposed to be with you last week, but I just got back from Kenya, and I had a bit of a reaction to my malaria tablets, so which is quite amusing, because I've that in the afternoon I was speaking in Ponty, and was talking on healing, and so it was quite an interesting to have to time it perfectly that I could make it to the loo in between the right moments. And I'm now with you, and I'm a bit full of cold, but I'm still going to be praying for healing at the end, because I saw quite a lot in Kenya. We saw some last week in Ponty. Well, actually, everyone who was prayed for got healed, so that was kind of quite interesting. And that came as a real shock, because somehow I kind of had the faith for it in Kenya, because everything was happening there, but suddenly in Ponty, in the cold and the wet, and suddenly praying, suddenly it was fun to see the same God at work. So that's where we're going to head. But I just want to start with just sharing where we're up to in Ponty. We've still got our bingo hall, which we've been painting. We've got a major issue. We've got to work out how to heat it. Because while I was in Kenya, they had a meeting there, sort of prayer meeting, and everyone was freezing, because we've got to find a way of trying to heat this building so we can use it. We're seriously considering, in the meantime, moving from where we're meeting into the new Lido that's just opened up in Ponty. Now, I know that's a swimming pool, but there's a huge cafe right next to it, which is really nice, and they've offered that to us so we could meet right in the middle of the park. And so we're kind of looking and seeing whether that's going to be a possibility. But that would be quite fun. So please pray for us. There's a few big things happening. We're looking to start an Eden project, working with a message right in where we're living in Rydfelen. And that could happen quite quickly. We've got the person to be the team leader. And that would be then 10 people moving in to be a team working into that community, particularly with the youth and the kids, and would be brilliant. And then also on top of that, the money for me runs out in March. So in April, I have no concept of how I'm getting paid. And it's quite an adventure. And normally, I'm quite at peace about it. But 2 o'clock in the morning, you find yourself thinking, help. So I appreciate your prayers for that. But it's been good. We're seeing some good things going on. As I said, we saw some healing last week, and it's just been encouraging. It was great on Tuesday night. We did a Google Hangout with Stuart and with the guys from Swansea, and just great hearing the stories. And what was amazing is we've all got similar things that we're going through. All of us have got buildings which need money and grants. All of us have kind of got that sort of sense of how do we really impact the community and how do we really see things happen. And it was just good to realise we're together in this. We're not alone. We're together. And the Google Hangout saves petrol as well. So we're doing our bit for the environment. And we can chat away. And it does work really well. I put on my Facebook page the other day a really funny song. Right? The song itself isn't funny. The song itself actually is one of the saddest songs there is. The song itself is a song that is sung, apparently, played in more funerals in the UK than any other song. And it is, I Did It My Way. The funny thing about this one is, it's a Chinese band, and there's this very stylish lady singing, I Did It My Way. And as she starts singing, it's all very nice, it's sort of a very nice banquet going on, and she's there singing away very beautifully, I did it my way. And then suddenly there's a moment where the drums comes in. And the camera beams round to this manic drummer, right? Who's there jumping up around, doing it like this. Absolutely bonkers. There he is doing it. And the great thing is you can't tell him off because you're singing a song saying, I did it my way. And he's doing it his own way. And it's really impressive. And it's interesting that that's a song that is played at more funerals. People want their lives to be remembered for, I did it my way. I did it the way I wanted to. I made the impression I wanted to make. I've done it my way. And there's this sort of, this is with achievement. Paul in Romans writes, as introducing himself, I'm a slave of Christ. We don't do it our way. We do it someone else's. We do it in a completely different way. And one of the things that I want to share today is the whole thing that I think is the most exciting concept of Christmas. It's that Christmas is God saying it, this is my way. And this is the way that brings hope. This is the way that brings purpose. This is the way that brings transformation. This is the way that creates an environment of faith. This is a way that can change lives radically. It's this way. And his way is quite amazing. Because, you know, when we kind of celebrate Christmas, we can all can be very nice, this little baby in a manger. And, oh, and it's sweet. But when you think about it, this. We see the Son of God, the Logos, there right at creation, speaking, and creation is coming to being. We see in John chapter 1 the amazing declaration of the Logos, the Word of God that has always been and always will be. We see Jesus, there he is, presented, eternal, part of the Godhead, always there with all authority. And then Christmas is about God's plan to restore us to him. It's all about his kingdom coming, his will being done. It's all about his rule and reign coming. And how does he do it? He becomes a man. I love this. He is totally man. He becomes a man. So, you know, I was talking with Stu saying at the start, I think in Mary, when the Spirit comes upon Mary, Jesus is placed within the womb. Totally a new creation of God, but 100% man. And when this child is born, we have this child who, though totally God, is living like you and me. He doesn't play the God card. Okay? When the temptation of Satan comes to him, what Satan is trying to say to him is, use the God card, use the God card. You're God. You can ask all the angels to come down. You're God. You can change everything. Go on, use the card, use the card. And he never, ever does. Jesus doesn't do any miracles till he's empowered by the Holy Spirit. Why? Because he ministers like you and I do. Jesus lived like us, but totally perfect. This is the amazing thing. He was perfect. Therefore, he lived with this relationship, being able to see the Father, and then when empowered by the Spirit, he could see the kingdom of God come. What I find exciting about that is, that's what we're like, except the perfect bit. But that's what we're like. We have this sense of actually, you know, I can't do anything, but empowered by the Holy Spirit, I can see the kingdom of God come. Empowered by the Holy Spirit, just like Jesus, we can minister in Bryn Mawr today. Just like Jesus, we can minister around. And what's really exciting, and I love this bit, is actually we can have more fruit. Why? Because Jesus is sat at the right hand of the Father with all authority right now. That's what the Christmas story is all about. That is what the story is all about. That Jesus, that God came with a plan to restore us in relationship with him for all eternity. And we can minister just like him because he showed us the way. And you sit and think, now, that's a bit more exciting than a little baby. You know, baby's been born, exciting. It happened to us 5 times. Well, 4 times, we had twins. But it was just exciting. It is. I love it. I get very excited. But actually, to think the Son of God limiting himself to show us the way. A few years ago, I was doing a conference in Germany. And ironically, I was about to do a seminar on the prophetic ministry. And I went to get my notes on the iPad. And there was this horrible moment where as I went onto my pages, they all disappeared. Just disappeared, 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 went. All my sermons, 3 years of sermons, just whoop, gone. I sat there thinking, help, what do I do? What's just happened? And then I suddenly realized, I've just bought Liz an iPad. I just bought her a little iPad as a birthday present. Has she done something on her iPad that's had an impact on mine? So I ring her and said, Liz, did you just do something with your iPad? Oh, yes. I put the pages on. I got all your sermons. So I just deleted them. I was like, bless you, my lovely wife. I can't believe it. And what hit me at that moment in time, and this is what then I did the entire conference on, was that we've got to learn that what happens in one place can affect the other. So with this iPad, Liz doing that in the UK impacted me in Germany because I had connected to the internet. As soon as I connected to the internet, I lost everything because it was all linked and had gone. And so suddenly you realize that actually something that happens one place has an impact in another place. Now that we need to understand when we look at the kingdom rule of God. We've got to understand that what happens in heaven has an impact here. What happens here is because of what God has done there. So just in the case of Jesus, in the case of Liz deleting my sermons, there was a point in your life where you came from death to life and your sin was deleted. It was deleted in heaven and it's deleted now. It's gone. You're clean. We are now perfect in this basis that when the Father looks at us, he sees the Son who was perfect. And so we are there now reflecting him back to the Father, and we can receive all of that because of what happened. And so I would want to just look at this about the concept of the kingdom of God. So it's interesting. In Mark chapter 1, verse 15, Jesus said this, "The time has come, the kingdom of God is near, repent and believe." That was the gospel that Jesus preached. The kingdom of God is here. Repent and believe. He spoke to his disciples about his death and resurrection, but to the people around, it was all about the kingdom of God. When Jesus spoke of the kingdom is near, he was announcing a moment in history of the world which reestablished the kingdom rule of God that was first rejected by Adam and Eve, would once again break in and reestablish on earth right now. In Isaiah 52, verse 7, it says, "Your God reigns." I love this because he's everyone's God. You know when people hear people say, "Oh, he's your God, this is my God," or "this is their gods." Actually, there is only one God, and he is everyone's God. Everyone. Whether they accept it or not, everyone has the same God. So the Islamic, you know, ISIS or whatever we call them these days, there they are with all their extremism. They've got one God and he's the same God as ours. Now that makes you want to pray for them because they're going to face him one day. It's the same God. Our God reigns. He is everyone's God and his reign and authority is most clearly shown in the resurrection of Jesus. And then what does Jesus teach us to pray? He says this. He says, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You think back at the iPad, the example of something being deleted and then impacting here. This is what Jesus is praying here. That the rule of God that is in heaven will be demonstrated on earth right now. When we pray the Lord's Prayer, it's not just a nice thought for the day. You know, it's like, oh, I've got a nice thing to say. Lord, let your kingdom come. Let your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Oh, that's a nice thought. No, it's the most radical, dramatic prayer you can ever pray. It's saying, God, come and rule. Come and reign. Let your kingdom come right now and be demonstrated in every way here in Bryn Mawr, here in the valleys. That is our cry. In Ebbw Vale once more, that the kingdom of God is being demonstrated. In Pontypridd, that the demonstration is the kingdom of God. That's the cry, that the authority, the reign of God that we see in heaven is demonstrated now here on earth. That's the cry. And in a funny way, that's why I went to Kenya. It was to see a kingdom activity that was demonstrating something beautiful. And I was invited by a guy called Bruce Collins, and he took myself, and he took Steve Bull, who leads City Temple, and a guy called Mike Holmes, who leads Coastlands in Barry. And the three of us went out with Bruce. And then there was two guys from Norway called Geir and Biota. And I only could remember Biota by thinking of a otter drinking beer. And so for a while, I just kept calling him beer otter, till I finally got it. No, it's Biota. But it was this, I had this picture of this drunk otter. But it was a useful way of remembering his name anyway. But I never told him that. But he's kind of, it's Biota. And they were fantastic. They were really interesting. Yes, he'll find out now. But you'll think, what a good way of learning my name. But anyway, we went as a team, and we were looking at a thing called Just Earth, which was a project set up in Kenya working with farmers, teaching them better ways of farming. And the whole thing is bringing the kingdom of God. And it started a few years ago when Bruce Collins was over in Kenya and was in this one area and looking at what he thought was quite fertile soil and was looking at the rubbish maize that was being grown and that people were starving and there was poverty and was thinking, why is this? And on that trip, he met a guy called Dr. Apollo. And Dr. Apollo was a Bible believer, who's linked into a local church, but he was also the expert on farming and seeding in the whole of Africa. And he'd done his training in Birmingham, Edinburgh, Aberystwyth, and Colorado, and he had PhDs coming out of his everything. And he was just phenomenal, and he had this whole concept. And Bruce said, what's the best way of farming in this area? Should we get big tractors over from America and buy up huge parts of land and then go and make these massive fields? And he said, this guy, Dr. Apollo, looked in horror and said, that's a white man approach. He says, no. He says, the way we're farming is the right for our culture. We've just got to bring the kingdom of God into it. And Bruce said, well, teach me. And Apollo said, the best thing is to have these farmers who have all got their acre of land, we just teach them how to produce more food on that acre. And then in process doing that, we can teach them the best things. And so what they've ended up with is a thing called a farm school, which runs for 3 years, and it works totally connected to the local church. So the church leader, he has the most amazing discipleship tool he'll ever have, which is what happens is the farmers who are all part of the church, they all come to the farm school, they sign up for 3 years, they give a day a week to come to the farm school. They get hold of a patch of land, about an acre, and in that land they just teach them all the possible ways of planting. So they say, this is what you're doing at the moment. They demonstrate it. Then they demonstrate if you plant maize 60 centimetres by 60 centimetres by 75 centimetres, put two seeds in and fertiliser, this is what you get this way. And they teach them. But they teach them with what they call facilitators, who just keep asking them questions, saying, do you think this works? Yes. What do you think this does? Well, it seems to be doing this. And it helps them to understand what's going. But alongside that, the church leader comes in and teaches the kingdom of God. Teaches that actually what you're doing here is the kingdom of God, the kingdom rule of God coming into every part of your life. It's coming into the way you farm. If you do it God's way, you'll actually see the fruit and produce that brings enough to feed your family and to do other things. And it was just remarkable meeting all these people, all these farmers who had come on this course. And I asked the same question each time, and it was this. How much food did you produce before you came on the course? Nearly all the time it was half a bag of maize. Half a bag of maize. Does that feed your family? No. How much do you produce the first year? 10 bags of maize. The second year, 15 bags of maize. Third year, 20 bags of maize. And it was so moving to sit with these people who were saying, there was this one lady, her husband died of HIV. She was now bringing up 6 children, plus her sister's family, plus her mother was still there. And she was trying to produce food for them. And she said, now my children can go to school and my eldest daughter is going to university. And you say, well, how is that possible? Because of the kingdom rule of God. It's not just they've learned something. It's because actually they've brought the kingdom of God. Suddenly you realize by bringing the kingdom of God, it changes everything. So for these people, they thank Jesus for their produce. There was another remarkable lady we met who, in Kenya, the husbands rule, okay? And this one husband decided he wanted to take another wife, so divorced her. In the process of that, she had no rights to any land, and she was feeding for her children, and she was looking after some others, and suddenly she lost everything. And those in the farm school all helped together to buy her a piece of land. It was very cheap because it was rubbish land. The first thing they do is they go and pray over the land. And then she starts producing. And now she has the most fruitful piece of land in the whole of that part of Kenya. Why? Because the kingdom rule of God came. And you're going around looking at this, and it's just making me think, this is real. This is what we need in the valleys. We need to actually have the kingdom rule of God come that does something that people say, I get it. I see how by living in God's way, it will actually improve my family. By living in God's way, it will change the way I do finance. You know, one of the biggest fruits of the Wesleyan revival all those years ago was when Wesley and Whitfield went out and thousands became Christians. One, people say, one of the biggest fruits was the middle class was created. Say, what do you mean the middle class was created? I'm not sure I like the middle class, you know. What do you mean? It was this. People met Jesus. Jesus' rule and authority came into their life. They became slaves of Christ rather than saying, I'm doing it my way. And what happened? They stopped drinking. They didn't drink as much, which meant they had more money. And what did they do with the money? They started to use it for the family. And they started to see, suddenly by having God coming into the home, it changed the whole of society for good because the kingdom of God came. And so you see this time and time again. And it just hit me in Kenya so clearly, the kingdom rule of God coming and being demonstrated and shown in the lives of people around. And when it came, it impacted them. And what was so wonderful alongside that is wherever we went, we'd go into settings and it'd be all the farmers. At the end, you'd say, is anyone here sick? We'd like to pray for you. And because you're saying, look, this is all about the kingdom of Jesus, the expectation is, therefore, Jesus will come and do something now. Because my crops have grown. Therefore, he'll do other stuff as well. And it was the most wonderful thing. It wasn't about my healing ministry. Here comes the. It was just saying, the kingdom of God's here. Because the kingdom of God's here, we expect to see him come and do healing. Just like this prayer, let your kingdom come, let your will be done in heaven, on earth, as in heaven. You know, you ask them in Kenya, you say, is there sickness in heaven? No. Then the kingdom of God comes, we pray for sickness to go. We come with faith because that's what happens with the kingdom of God. And it was wonderful at the end to say, anyone pray for healing? And they all come forward. And the first person that I kind of prayed for, I was kind of slightly nervous thinking, oh, you know, I've heard all these stories about people getting healed and this will be the moment the person. And I pray for this woman who, I think she had done her back, serious pain in the back. And of course she's farming, she can't farm properly. And she comes forward and I pray for her. And then through the translation, I kind of waited to hear if there's a response. The great thing about Africans is this, when God touches them, you don't need to ask the question, because suddenly I'm praying for this woman. She goes, "Ooh!" like this. I think, is she having some sort of spirit? What's going on? I say, is she better? Over here, the Norwegians who have laughing, saying, you know, from Norway, the concept of healing is as, you know, as foreigners seeing the sun in the winter. And they're praying for this woman who's can't hear. And as they're praying, this woman goes, "Whoo!" Like, as her hearing comes back. It was just remarkable. On the Sunday, I'm preaching in an Anglican church. I've got to be honest, I was so out of my comfort zone. Seriously out of my comfort zone. I had to be, they did a parade at the start. So the church are all in. And there's a vicar in his robes, and there's Bruce in his collar, and then there's all these lay readers, whatever they are, in their big robes. And then there's a choir. And the choir go in. They just got drums. And actually, to be honest, it was really good. And they kind of went. And then we kind of had to march in. And I was thinking, this is so odd. I am so out of my comfort zone. This is like, what is going on here? And then we come. And then bizarrely, there's a table at the front, which I think is the altar. And I'm sat this side of the table. Church is over there. I'm sitting like this. Bruce, my friend, is sat this side. And it looks like we're having a romantic meal together, to be honest. It's like, you know, there's nice candles. And I'm sitting there thinking, you know, this is very nice. It's a shame we've got all these people looking. But it's kind of odd. And then I was so out of my comfort zone. And then the vicar, you know, it didn't help me when one of the songs was to the tune of In a Bleak Midwinter. And I'm there thinking, we're right on the equator. And I'm thinking, this is bonkers. You know, what on earth are we talking about? You know, the bleak midwinter. And then I'm asked to preach. And so I preach and I'm walking down the aisle. I'm talking of Jesus feeding the 5,000. And in the middle of it, I suddenly remember a story that I had forgotten, which is outrageous. I'd forgotten to the extent of just forgot to keep thanking God for it, which is my wife was miraculously healed when she was 16 years old. And she had an illness called angulospondylitis, which was a sort of decaying bone and muscles, joints, and a sort of severe arthritis. And sort of 13, 14, 15, she was bedridden, really, because of this illness. And the church they were looking to join took a day of prayer and fasting for her. The week before this, she'd been at hospital in London, and they'd been doing tests on her to really see how bad it was. And part of the tests were to find out how quickly this illness was developing. And so they'd kind of done these tests and said, yes, you've got angulospondylitis. We'll see you in 2 weeks' time to see how fast it's progressing. But the reality is, if she hadn't been healed, she would not have made it much further than 25, really. I doubt I would have met her. And so she had this illness, which again, a friend of ours called Frank Gamble, who's a church leader, had the same illness, and it killed him. But Liz, she was really bad. And then they prayed for her. And she says, there was a moment they came and laid hands on her and she just felt this heat go through her body. And they said, is there anything you couldn't do before? And she got out of bed and said, I couldn't touch my toes. And she said, well, actually, I couldn't really get out of bed. And touches her toes. They go back to the hospital 2 weeks later and they say the only things they can find is one, she had grown 6 inches in a week. Two, her joints now were slightly over-flexible. So she always has this joke that God overhealed her. It was like, she's got these amazing joints that can do things that she goes, don't do that. So like, and as I was preaching, I remembered this story. And it was this moment of, actually, we can sometimes forget to thank God for things that he's done. And so in the middle of the sermon, I told the story and I said, I want to thank God. And all these people clapping and thanking God. And then we at the end say, anyone want to pray for healing? And people came forward. And this one lady came forward who couldn't lift her arms. She hadn't been able to lift her arms for years. And we pray for her and suddenly her arms are in the air. She's praising Jesus. And you sit there and think, what's this all about? The kingdom rule of Jesus has come. This is what Christmas is all about. Christmas isn't just about the gifts we get. It's about the ultimate gift we've got, which is we are no longer living for ourselves. We're living for him. We're now here for him. And because we're here for him, his rule and reign can come. Because his rule and reign can come, we can expect to see the kingdom of God come. And so one of the things, even for me, as I'm looking at March and thinking, what do I do in April? Is I'm thinking, let's see the kingdom of God come. Why don't I become an employee? Why don't I employ people? Why don't I set up a company? And so I'm meeting some investors in January to look at maybe setting up a thing called Ponty Wool, which I think I may have mentioned when we came back from Turkey one time. There were a load of sheep had got into our garden. John was looking after the house, and he'd let the sheep in the garden. No, they were getting in. And so there was wool everywhere, wasn't there? There was wool everywhere. And as I'm talking to the farmer, I say to him, "What what do you do with your wool? He says, it's worthless. So it's hardly pointless me shearing the sheep because no one wants it. And I said, what if I set up a business that did something with wool? He said, you'll have every farmer in the valley loving you. And I thought, well, why can't we? And I thought, well, why don't we set up something that does house insulation? Let's make house insulation. Let's make something in the valleys again. And thinking, why don't we look at setting up a business that actually employs ex-offenders and long-term unemployed and bring them in and give them a trade and actually then bless the local farmers and bring it as part of the kingdom of God coming into the valleys. Is there a way this could be possible? Now, at the moment, it's a pipe dream. The scary thing is, everyone I mention it to says it's a good idea. And I'm waiting for someone to say, what a stupid idea. And so, but at the moment, you think, maybe. The kingdom rule of God. You exist here, not just to build the church. In fact, we're not told to build the church. We're told forceful men and women get hold of the kingdom of God, and Christ builds the church. I think sometimes we've got to let him build the church and let us push forward the kingdom reign of God. Say, God, let your kingdom come. Let us change Bryn Mawr. Let's change the valleys. Let's change Ebervale. Let's change because the kingdom rule of God is here. And part of it is we can ask. We can ask that God's rule comes now and brings healing. That God's rule comes now and provides. It's interesting, if you actually start thinking of the Lord's Prayer as a kingdom prayer, it changes everything. Give us the daily bread. Why? Because we want your kingdom to come. So Lord, provide for me so your kingdom can come. Forgive our debts as we forgive those who debt us. In other words, let me be in a position that actually your kingdom rule is so that you can forgive our sins. Forgiveness for the way we've failed to live out the Father's kingdom rule. That we want to live God's way. Lead us not into temptation, for protection and deliverance from these things that would draw us away from demonstrating the kingdom. But deliver us from evil, for protection from the evil one who is constantly trying to draw us away from our Heavenly Father and to frustrate and discredit our witness in his kingdom. It's about the kingdom. It's about his kingdom rule. And what's amazing is sometimes you can go to Kenya and you can see it so clearly demonstrated. What was strange was in the evenings, we would have these debates, which often I provoked. But the guys from Norway live right next to Sweden. And Sweden is probably one of the most liberal nations in the world. And they were saying how it's starting to impact Norway. And as a result, thanks to IKEA, it will impact the whole of the West. And the discussion was this. So Geir one night said, what do you guys, how's the church in the West handling same-sex marriage? How, you know, oh, that's a nice and easy one. I said, probably pretty abysmally, to be honest, and we were chatting about it. He said, interesting. He said, the church often asks the wrong questions and tries to answer a discussion that actually we have given up the right to have. He said, for us, the discussion is not same-sex marriage, the discussion is gender. Because said in Sweden now that a child is not a boy or a girl till they decide what they're going to be. So even though they are born with everything that would say a boy or everything that says a girl, they say no, they call them a hare, which is a combination of the two. It's a new word. That child can then decide what gender it is as it grows up. Therefore, they're told, you know, when they're in school in the early days, not to do boys' toys or girls' toys, but to have hair toys that they can basically decide. And then there'll be a point where they'll say, I am a girl or I am a boy. And at that point, that is a legal decision. He said, so you could soon have the situation where you have two men in front of you, but one says, I am a woman. Legally, I am a woman. So the issue of same-sex marriage is out of the question. The issue is gender. And so you're sitting there having these discussions at night, and then you're going out in the day and seeing this, and you're sitting there thinking, God, this is what I'm going back to. Well, how do we do this? And it suddenly felt God say, bring my kingdom rule. Bring my kingdom rule. If you do it your own way, this is where it leads. Utter confusion. If you do it your own way, it leads to a place which is full of uncertainty and doubt. But if you bring the kingdom rule of Jesus, if you demonstrate his rule and reign now, you never get to that discussion. In the sense of actually, you know,
Jesus didn't go into those discussions. What he talked about was the kingdom rule right now. And I'll demonstrate it. I'm going to feed 5,000 of you. And he could minister as we minister because he was a man empowered by the Spirit. And it was interesting. My friend Gare said, the question the church in the West needs to answer is this. Was it important that Jesus was a man? If you can answer that, you're okay. And it's an interesting one. It's important that Jesus is a man. Why? Because of part of his creation order. It goes right back into how God created everything. Right back into actually his kingdom rule, his reign, everything that's his. And in the same way, that is what we present. The kingdom of God. So I'm just going to ask John to just come and give a testimony of last Sunday. He came forward with a neck pain and he's just going to share what happened.
Yeah, basically, a fortnight ago, I believe it was on the Monday, I woke up with a sore neck. And throughout the week, it continued to be sore. And on Sunday, Andrew said about praying for me. So I went forward for prayer. And during the prayer, Andrew said to me, he said, how is it now? And I said, it's easier than it was. So he prayed again, and then the pain went. Well, on this Tuesday, I received a text from Andrew, tentatively asking me, how's your neck? And I said, good, thanks. I don't know if you were aware of it, but when you prayed for me, my head was being pushed down, and after it was being lifted up, I believe it was God's power doing that, as I couldn't feel your hands. And Andrew's text back was, they call me a heavy-handed Davis. I laughed, and I said, no, I couldn't feel your hands. And I believe it was God's power, not Andrew's hands pushing my head down and lifting my head back up. And Andrew isn't aware of this, but it came to me during the worship this morning that for 9 years, I've been suffering with pain in my back and not being able to stand for a long time. I stood for nearly 40 minutes. So I believe God is still healing me now.
It was amazing. I know I was holding John's hands. So and it was just great. I've got to be honest, right? When you're in Kenya and you're seeing all that and you're praying for the sick, you've got faith. Last Sunday, suddenly when I said, let's pray, and people came forward and you pray and they said, yeah, I feel better now. You know, I did send the text out on Tuesday thinking, oh, I'm waiting for the, well, it was better till Sunday evening and then the pain came back. Nothing. God came. And what I loved in Kenya and what so got me and gripped me was it was all about the kingdom of God coming. And as a result, people get healed. It wasn't about my healing ministry. No, it's about us connecting with Jesus who sat at the right hand of the Father with all authority. Us empowered by the Spirit and just saying, Lord, let your kingdom come. Let your kingdom come. You know, I have prayed for some people since getting back who weren't healed. You know, it's not like 100% record, but that's just what we live with, isn't it? We live with the sense of the kingdom of God now and the not yet. Sometimes I wonder what the not yet is. I don't understand it. It's a mystery. But there are points where God comes and moves powerfully. And so I'd love to end this time just by praying for anyone who's sick and praying for God's rule to come and heal you. So what I'm going to do, I am going to do it just like I did in Kenya, just because I've got faith for it that way. And it's also, it feels a little quaint doing it like this, but good, if we can stand. Just everyone just shut their eyes. Is there anyone here who is sick and requires healing? Just lift your hand. Okay. I'm going to do is I'm just going to pray. I'd like you to repeat this prayer. And it's, Jesus, please heal me today. and say, Lord, I want to pray right now for your kingdom rule to come and be demonstrated here in Bryn Mawr. Lord, we ask right now that your kingdom rule comes. I want to pray for faith to arise. I want to pray for a faith environment that you can come and minister to us in. So come, Holy Spirit. Just come right now in this room. Touch wherever it is that people have got that needs healing. Come and bring your kingdom rule. Let your reign come in their life right now, physically. Lord, I want to pray, Father, for that family, Lord, who have just got so much cancer going through the family. We ask right now, in the name of Jesus, that your reign will come, that your kingdom come, your will be done in heaven as on earth. And so, Lord, we ask for that. Lord, we ask that your kingdom rule comes. In your name, amen. Well, I'd love to pray individually for people, but is anyone feeling better? Anything changed? I'd love to now say, I've got hair. Anyone, something you couldn't do is now happening? What's going on? I don't know why. Right. Yeah. Well, come on. What I'm going to do is, I'd just love to pray. So, if you want prayer for healing, just come forward. I'd love to pray for you. And also, I'm going to pray for Stuart, and then he's going to pray for people as well. And so, what we're going to do is, you want prayer, don't you? So I'm going to pray for you, and then you're going to lead us in some worship, okay? So look, you come forward first. Yeah, this looks really good, doesn't it? We're going to pray for the ministry team, and then they're going to minister to you. So let me just...